Now we're heading to Devar Station in Western Southland. It's where the McDonald family have opened an entrepreneurial collective based at the Shearer's Quarters at the entrance to the property. Let's join Cosmo Kentish-Barnes, who's with Kate McDonald.
This is our family farm. It's been in our family for over 100 years, which was very special. And we farm crossbred Romney Perendale sheep. We've got 6,500 breeding ewes here. We also have some cattle as well. And I'm the eldest of three children. I've got a sister, Anna. And we also have a brother called Ben, who is farming up in Wairoa in the North Island. Mm.
And you have a shop here.
I do, yes. So a couple of years ago, I started a business called Devar & Co. And we use our sheep's wool from the farm here and get it made into beautiful homespun jerseys that we sell online, and then we also have our shop here as well now.
How would you describe where we are standing now and what we can see?
So we're standing on the deck of the Shearer's Quarters, which we've turned into the shop, and at the front of the Shearer's Quarters, Anna, my sister, has her caravan situated there, and out of the caravan she serves freshly baked goods and coffee. And we're right on the main state highway from Queenstown to Milford Sound. So we're getting a lot of tourists calling in from all around the world, actually, which is really amazing to be able to meet so many interesting people. We also get a lot of sort of tradies, like builders and people doing work in Tiano, because it's such a obviously touristy town, and there's a lot of holiday makers and people with holiday homes there. So yeah, we're sort of getting all sorts, which is it's really cool. And there's a lot of area outside the dwelling or outside the shop and the caravan for people to turn around, and so they can park their boats and trucks, and we've had stock trucks, all sorts, you name it.
It's a really busy road, isn't it?
It's really busy, yeah, like just standing here talking to you, there's been so many vehicles go past.
Behind the shop, there are a couple of grain silos, and behind them is the wool shed.
It is the wool shed, so that's where all the magic happens. That's where we share our lambs, hoggets, ewes, and obviously all the wool gets sorted there.
So what micron wool do you use?
Yeah, so we're using our ewe wool, which is 36 micron, and for the children's range, we're using our lamb's wool, which is about 30 micron. And it's an outer layer, and that's what we're really trying to explain to people. You don't wear it directly on your skin, like a merino top or something like that.
So when did you first think about, you know, starting a business?
So I have always been really passionate about wool. I worked for our local shearing contractor in my uni summer holidays as a rousie, and could never just really understand why farmers were getting paid such little money for such an amazing natural, biodegradable, renewable fibre. And I went to Lincoln University and studied an agribusiness and marketing degree, and have sort of worked on a couple of different jobs in New Zealand since then in marketing roles. And I came back to the farm at the beginning of 2020 with the intention to go and travel overseas and do my OE. But COVID sort of hindered my plans, so had to sort of change tact. And that's when I sort of decided to do something with our wool. And really wanted to showcase the crossbred woolen fibre and how we can utilise that in a different way, and decided to do fashion wear. So the whole New Zealand made ethos is very important to the brand and is a core part of the brand, and we really wanted to ensure that we keep the whole process from shearing to scouring, spinning and dyeing our yarn, and then the final knitting stage contained in New Zealand.
It's all done here?
Yes, it is, which is amazing.
And what were some of the biggest challenges you had in terms of designing and making the jerseys?
So there was a few sort of challenges we came across in the early stages, particularly just around spinning the yarn and dyeing the yarn. So there was challenges around that. And then also the designing. So with the designs, I've taken inspiration from my late grandmother. She passed away about 4 years ago, but she was an incredible spinner and knitter. So this is my dad's mother, Sally. And she used to dye sheep's wool from the farm here with lichen and moss and forage materials and make us these beautiful garments. So we've sort of grown up with homespuns, and we really wanted to enable the urban people that chance to be able to take something from the country and wear something from the country as well. It's so nostalgic to us.
So most of your inspiration for the designs comes from here?
It does, absolutely. And even the colours, I really wanted to showcase the natural environment that we live in, and name the colours or the colourways of the garments things, I guess, that reflect the environment. So we've got snow, which is our natural undyed white jumper. Mm. We've got bark, which is sort of a dark chocolate brown, granite. So a lot of the outcrops at the bottom of the Takatimu Mountains is granite rock, grey and brown and white throughout the rock. So that reflects one of the garment colours.
Thank you. Inside the converted shearer's quarters, the Devar & Co shop showcases Kate's woolen jersey range.
This is sort of a classic Guernsey, which we've called the Lucky Lass. We brought out this rose pink limited edition last year, which is so beautiful. We've got a few left of those. A Suave Shepherd, this is a real classic garment that my grandmother knitted for all her sons, my granddad, a lot of women really suit this style as well.
What are the most popular jerseys?
Yeah, definitely this, the Wild Wanderer, and I'd say this is the most popular style for men in New Zealand, in this colour, the granite colourway, because that just screams homespun.
Some of your jerseys have ribbing down the front, and that's a classic old design, isn't it?
It is, it's a classic.
Where did you get the inspiration for this from?
So this was from my grandmother. We've still got one of the originals, actually, and my granddad wears it every now and then, but it's quite special, so we might even frame it and put it in the shop.
Mm. Where's the greatest potential for growth?
So Australia, parts of Australia we're sort of looking into at the moment, and then over in Canada and the US, in some countries in Europe, we've had a lot of inquiries via email from people over there wanting to buy, and we're just sort of in that process at the moment of ensuring that we're targeting the people that are willing to pay, you know, upwards of 60 New Zealand dollars to get their garments shipped to them.
Has it cost heaps to set this fashion business up?
Yes, I would say. Yep. No, it has. There has been a reasonable amount of investment that has gone into it, and a lot of sort of just hard work and hard grind in the early stages. I was working full-time on the farm when I started this, so it was sort of a side hustle at the beginning. And yeah, it sort of evolved and eventuated into what it is today. So yeah, we're really proud of what we've done so far, and just to be able to educate people on wool and why it's amazing, and encourage people to wear more wool as opposed to synthetic garments and fibres is, yeah, if that's all we're doing, then that I'm really proud and satisfied.
Mm. Do you still have time to help out on the farm?
Yes, I do every now and then, yep. So Dad will just ring me or text me and say, I need you at the wool shed, can you come now?
Kate's parents, Fiona and James, are keen to give me a tiki tour of their scenic farm. So how much land do you have here?
So the property is 2,800 acres or 1,100 hectares. And so we run right up to those mountains up there, the Takatimu Mountains. It's kind of a long and skinny property. We have got 300 acres on the other side of the road, so we do have to move stock across the main state highway, which we manage, and we know when to do it and yes, try not to hold up the traffic too much. And yeah, so we're on the Tiaroa Trail, which is the walking track between Cape Reinga and Bluff. So we see quite a few walkers. Most of them tend to go from north to south.
They walk down this track, which we're on now, through your property.
Yes, they do. They're pretty excited about finishing it, because they've sort of got about a week till they finish the trail.
And your daughters, Kate and Anna, have a wee hub down by the main road, and I guess that's where some of those walkers stop off for some welcomed refreshments.
Yes, it's quite entertaining seeing their faces or hearing, oh gosh, I hope you haven't closed. And there's nothing between Mossbune and Tiana, so we're 30 k's between both, so we're right in the middle of the two places, so, and right on the main highway. So the location is quite advantageous for the girls.
Now, James, we are working our way up quite a steep hill.
Yeah, so we'll just drive up on top here and you can get a good view of the farm.
We can already see quite a few sheep dotted around the property.
So these are foretooths in here that have been shorn for about 8 or 9 days, and on average sort of feed, dried up stuff, but it's fine for use. Turtles down below us there that are going to be shorn early April. Their wool will be actually fibre scanned prior to shearing. They'll be side sampled up the race There's a guy, Don Morrison, from Christchurch, that'll come and do that. It'll take about a day and a half.
Why do you do that?
Oh, that's done to get the quality wool for Kate's jerseys. We'll just stop here and get a bit more traction going up this hill, I think. We'll just get up on top here and we can get a better look. What a view. The property ranges in altitude from 2,500 feet. Up on those sort of rocky, tussocky knobs up the head of those valleys, running right back down Princester Road here, across onto the other side of State Highway 94, and boundaries the Maro River down at the bottom of that cliff there, at an altitude of probably about 900 feet.
Mm.
So quite a range, which makes it a very good farm in the aspect that you've got variation in soil types and rainfall.
Does most of your revenue come from lambs?
A very high percentage of it does come from lambs, yes. Probably 70%.
Mm.
We can't really include wool in the equation now because it ends up being a negative as far as income versus expenses of shearing.
Do you mean it still costs you more to shear the wool than what you get for the wool?
Yes, it does, yeah. Negative 20 grand when you lump it all together. Like wool income,
yes.
Shearing expenses.
So I guess with Kate starting the fashion business, things might turn around.
Oh, well, that was, you've got to start somewhere, don't you? So it's only a very small amount at this stage. Yeah. But
the idea's there.
The idea
and
is will there.
Grow.
And it's been very interesting to learn a little bit more about wool and the qualities of it. And that you can actually make garments out of our stronger crossbred wool, providing we have the quality there and have the people that are spinning the yarn doing a quality job, which they do, and also knitting the product.
James, how long have you been farming here?
This property that Fiona and I are farming was split off in 1970 between my father and his other two brothers. And we took over the farming of it in 94 from my parents, Sally and David, and have carried on and have three kids that are real keen on it.
Mm. And Fiona, there have been a few tragic twists and turns in the family history.
There has indeed. I'm a bit of a historian. I find it all rather fascinating. So in 1878, Donald MacDonald came out to New Zealand with his brother, and he was 19 years old. So he came out on a ship and landed in Otago, and he went to Edendale in Southland. And he had two sons and two daughters, and in 1915 he purchased the Plains Station, which James was just talking about. So it was, 8,500 acres. And the intention of buying the property was that his eldest son, also Donald, was called Donald, would take it over. So Donald went to the war in World War One, and he was fighting in the Battle of Messines in 1917, and he was tragically killed. So the family were obviously very distraught. And then the poor other son was Alec, and he was farming at Carter Hope Station in Balclutha. And he became the victim of the influenza pandemic in 1918. So within the space of 18 months, the poor parents had lost both their sons. So James's grandfather, Angus MacDonald, was also over on the Western Front fighting. He was wounded. He went up into a hospital in England, and his name was Angus. And he came back to New Zealand, and his uncle, Donald MacDonald, asked him, Angus, if he would like to come to the Plains and run it with the intention of perhaps buying it off him, which is exactly what happened. So, he had the three sons, and then, like James said, it was split up into three in 1970. So that's how that all evolved, really, through tragedy.
By the time I get back to the shearer's quarters, it's a lot busier. We are standing outside Anna's Sprig and Thistle caravan, and this is where the locals come and get their morning fix of coffee. And in fact, I am with Jodine. And what do you do, Jodine?
I'm their postie. I do Ardi 2 in Te Anau.
What a fantastic job.
You have no idea how lovely it is. You become instantly part of the community and the wider community. Not only are you delivering mail and parcels and things like that, you quite often it's information and local knowledge, or you bump into people that are randomly lost out in the wilderness.
So do you go down lots of gravel roads?
Yeah, from here I head down Mavora Lakes Road and then down Centre Hill and then come back over the gorge and on my way home. So I have a little run. I'm only about 160 kilometres a day, and 100 k's of that is off-road on the gravel. Yeah.
What were you doing before you became a postie?
Lots of things. So I've been in the mining industry, I've been in rubbish and recycling, I've done lots of things.
Is this your best job ever?
Yes, in a lot of ways, actually. You go through life and you've either got two things. You've got the luxury of money, if you're earning lots of money, but you're normally doing lots of hours and all the rest of it, or you have the luxury of time, which is what I have. I finish work by about midday each day, and I have the luxury of doing all sorts of things.
So is this a daily stop-off for you here?
It is. Sometimes we have coffee, sometimes I just sit and chat with whoever's having coffee.
A couple of tourists are also getting their caffeine fix.
I'm Rike.
I'm Caroline.
And where are you from?
I'm from the States in the Maryland area.
And I'm from Germany.
What are you doing here in Southland?
We are both walking Te Araroa, which is the through hike through New Zealand from Cape Reinga to Bluff.
We started about 4 months ago.
It's wake up, walk, eat, sleep, repeat.
And you have stopped off at this handy little cafe.
Yeah, it's great. We just hitched in from Tianao, where we took some time off, and yeah, we're greeted by coffee and cinnamon scrolls, which was great.
It's like the hiker's dream to come off the trail or start the trail with a lot of carbs and delicious coffee.
In between customers, Kate's 24-year-old sister Anna tells me about her business.
I have got a wee coffee and food caravan overlooking Mum and Dad's farm devastation. Beautiful outlook here that you can see. And I opened on the 7th of December, so a very short amount of time we've been open, but it's super busy, and no, it's really good.
How would you describe what's around us? What have you got in here?
So here on the front bench you can see all the display of the food, all the freshly baked treats that I make daily. We've got some scones, muffins, cinnamon brioche, they're what we have every day. I've also got ham, cream cheese and sweet chilli scrolls.
You've got some customers, so I'll stand
do.
Back.
Lovely customers here. Hello, how are you guys? What would we like?
Do you make and bake all the food that you sell?
Yes, I do. Everything.
So how early do you have to get up in the morning?
Oh, my alarm goes off at 4:30 in the morning.
Every morning?
Yes.
You're here in the kitchen.
Yeah, smashing out the sunny buns and the muffins, scones. It's really important to me that everything I do is homemade. I've found a lot of customers ask me as well. They're like, wow, did you make all this? And it's really cool, and I'm really proud to say that I do. Mm.
And your caravan is right next door to the shearer's quarters where you've installed a commercial kitchen.
Yes, it's just a couple of steps up, so it's really handy. I can whip in and do some baking while in between customers, and yeah, it's really handy to have it right here.
What's the best seller in terms of your baking?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'd have to say the cinnamon brioche, that a crowd pleaser. Everyone loves them, which is cool. And the I make this chocolate brownie that's gluten-free and a blondie version of it, so it's like a white chocolate caramel without that cocoa element. And they are, yeah, they just go. I make them every week.
Have you always had an interest in food?
Yes, it's been a big part of my life since I was a little girl. Mm. Probably more so from my mum. She taught me a lot when I was younger, and also my grandmother as well. So dad's mum, she's such a foodie, so she's not with us anymore, but she holds a massive part of my heart for what I'm doing now.
And you've also got a catering business.
Yes, I do. That's sort of actually how my whole business venture started, with catering. So I got a booking for a 50 person dinner, and that was my first one that I ever did, and I was so nervous that I wasn't going to have enough food, or there was going to be way too much, and it worked out, and that's sort of what kicked everything else off. I just kept growing and sort of snowballed from there.
Before I leave Davao Station, I pop up to the house to say hello to Anna and Kate's 85-year-old grandmother.
I'm Margaret McLeod from Hawke's Bay, and I've come down because we were flooded out at home.
Tell me about that. What was it like for you?
Well, we were lucky. Our home was all right, but we had no power, no water, no telephone, no services like that. But it was very, very stressful to watch the Narrarora River break its bank on Tuesday morning, and then they evacuated the Mahu Power. And the township is, I think, red-stickered, as far as I know. All their furniture was out on the road when I left, and there was nothing saved, to my knowledge. Mm. And the neighbour's place, which was very close to me, two slips went down the hill into the houses, so they had to get out. So I've been sent to Tiana, so I'm very lucky.
Your brother wasn't quite as lucky, though.
No, my brother, he lost everything. And he just got his vehicle out, and the rest of his family had to swim out, and he's down at Maranui Way.
How's he coping at the
moment? Well, he's got no income now, and he's very stressful. And the nephew, Chris McLeod, he also down Swamp Road at Fernhill, lost everything too, and there is a lot of sadness, and it'll take years and years to come right.
When do you think you'll go back home?
They're telling me I've got to go to the Wanaka show. So they expect me to gallop around there. But I am missing home, but I'm very, very lucky, and I'm having a lovely time. I feel quite selfish.
Enjoy your time down here, and good luck for when you go back home.
Thank you so much.
Margaret McLeod ending that story from Davao Station near Tiano in Southland. Cosmo was also talking to Fiona and James McDonald, their daughters Anna and Kate, and rural postie Jodine Kennedy. Check out the Country Life webpage for photos from all the stories you've heard today.